Welcome to Haftarah of Parshas Bar-Midbar, Machar HaChodesh. Last week, we ended with a question. According to Rashi, the Haftarah fits B'chukhaisai very well, because it focuses on the sin of not keeping Shemitah, which is one of the major themes of the Parsha. But according to the Radak, Shemitah is mentioned only once, while the main focus of the Haftarah is really Avodah Zarah. So if that is the case, why is this the Haftarah of B'chukhaisai? Perhaps we can answer based on the Gra in Amunah v'Hashkacha Oist Tes Vav. He explains that the root of Avodah Zarah is the lack of Betachin. And he adds that Sinas Chinam is also rooted in a lack of Betachin. That is why the two Churbanos are connected, because both ultimately come from the same underlying problem. And certainly, the Avera of working the fields during Shemitah comes from the same weakness in Betachin. A person who truly trusts Hashem can step away from his work for an entire year and use that time to immerse himself in Torah. So we can say that Avodah Zarah and Shemitah are deeply connected because both reflect a lack of betachin. And if so, a Haftarah that addresses Avodah Zarah can also serve as a commentary on Shemitah. Since this Shabbos is Erev Rosh Chodesh, we read the special Haftarah of Machar HaChodesh, named after its opening words. The background is as follows. Although Shaul had already tried to kill David once, Yonason was convinced that it had been an isolated incident and that David would safely remain with the king. David, however, feared that Shaul truly intended to kill him and asked for a way to test Shaul's attitude. The plan was that David HaMelech would remain absent from the king's table during the monthly Rosh Chodesh meal, and then they would observe Shaul's reaction. Yonason would then report back to David, and based on that response, David would know whether he could safely return or whether he would have to flee. Yonason told him, "Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, and your absence will surely be noticed." He then instructed David to hide in the field next to the Evan Hazel, a stone marker used to guide travelers. Yonason would go out, kaviyachol, for targa practice and shoot arrows towards the stone, deliberately missing the mark. If everything was safe, he would shoot the arrows short of the target and tell his attendant to come closer because the arrows had landed nearby. That would be a sign that David could come close and safely return. But if he shot the arrows beyond the target and told the attendant to go further, that would mean that David too must go further away because the king wanted to kill him. The Malbim notes something interesting in the wording. When the possibility is one of peace and safety, the attendant is called a nar, which suggests relatively minor effort. David would be able to return calmly and without urgency. But when the possibility is one of danger, the attendant is called an elem, which suggests stronger effort and greater intensity. In that case, David would have to flee quickly in order to save himself. We find a similar idea in Rashi, in Shmoy's Perek Bey's Pasuk Ches, where Miriam is called an Alma, which she ran swiftly to call her mother to nurse the infant Moshe. Shaul HaMelech ignored David's absence on the first day, saying, "Mikrahu, bilti tahar." Perhaps something happened and David was not tahar. As an aside, the Chaimas Anoch notes that this phrase can be read homiletically. The thought that everything happens merely by mikra, by happenstance, is itself bilti tahar. But when David failed to appear on the second day as well, Shaul HaMelech asked Yonason where he was. Yonason replied that he agreed to David's request to return home and take part in his family's annual gathering. At that point, Shaul HaMelech became furious. He called Yonason Ben Navas Hamardus, son of a perverse woman. Why that expression, you may ask? Because Shaul was one of the few surviving members of Sheva Binyamin after the terrible episode of Pilegish Begiva. The surviving men of Binyamin had not been able to receive wives in the usual way because the other Shvatim had made a shvua not to marry the daughters off to them. In order to preserve the Shevet of Binyamin, an unusual arrangement had been made. 300 wives were grabbed from the other Shvatim's daughters. Because of his great humility, Shaul HaMelech would not step forward to approach a woman and grab her, and his wife had to approach him. That is the background to Shaul's insult. At this point, Yonason understood that Shaul was fully committed to killing David. He was so distressed that he did not eat on the second day of Rosh Chodesh. Still, he waited until the following day so as now to arouse suspicion, and then went out to the field to carry out the plan. He fired the arrows as arranged and told the intendant that they had landed further along than the stone. That was the sign. Once the Nar had collected the arrows, Yonason saw that they were completely alone in the field and that it was safe to speak openly to David. He sent the attendant away, and the two great friends shared a final embrace, repeating the oath of loyalty and friendship between them. As the Mishnah tells us in Avos Perikei, Mishnah Yotes, the love of David Yonason is an internal model of true chavership, friendship. There is an interesting dispute regarding the phrase HaChodesh HaSheni, the second day of the month. Rashi understands this to mean simply the second day of the month, because in those times Rosh Chodesh lasted only one day. However, Rabbeinu Bachya quotes Rabbeinu Chananel in Shmoy's Perik Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis, who holds that there were already 2 days of Rosh Chodesh even then, despite the fact that there was no fixed calendar and the sanctification of the month depended on Beis Din. This is one of his proofs that the determining factor in Rosh Chodesh is the calculated position of the moon, and not visual testimony alone. After all, during the 40 years in the Midbar, the Yidden did not see the sun or the moon because they were surrounded by Nani Akavet. I heard a beautiful vart from my Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Reisman Shlita. It's the kind of vart that was worth keeping in your back pocket. It works for chasana, it works for a bar mitzvah, and it works beautifully for Parshat Bamidbar as well. In this week's Haftarah, we have the pasuk in Hosea Beis Chaf Aleph, Ve'arasticha Li Lo'ilam. And of course, that pasuk immediately sounds like a pasuk about marriage. It's also a pasuk that we say when putting on tefillin, so it fits naturally for a bar mitzvah as well. The Sfas Amos asks a very strong question. Erusin means the first stage of marriage, engagement, the beginning of the bond. But after Erusin, the Kala is still in her father's home. Nisuin is when she actually comes into her husband's home. So what does it mean, ve'erastich li lo'ilam? What are we going to stay engaged forever? No plan to ever reach marriage? It sounds like a very strange shidduch. The Chassan is saying, let us remain engaged forever. So what is the pshat? The Sfas Emes says something beautiful. When a person becomes engaged, there's a chiddush, a freshness, an excitement. There's a special sensitivity in the way the couple speaks to each other. There's a care, thoughtfulness, a feeling that everything is new and precious. Ve'erastich li lo'ilam. Does not mean that the relationship will never move forward to nisuin. Of course it will. But the herigush of erison, the freshness, the excitement, the sense that this relationship is something new and precious, that should remain lo'ilam. That is true in a marriage. That is true for a bar mitzvah bracha putting on tefillin. And really, it is true in every area of Avodas Hashem. There's a similar idea also brought in Sfas Emes on the Pasuk in Tehillim Chav Zayin. L'dabar Hashem Oiri V'yishi. There we ask to merit Shifti B'Veis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai, to dwell in the house of Hashem all the days of my life. And then the Pasuk continues, L'vaker B'Hei Choloi. But that seems strange. If I am already Shifti B'Veis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai, then what does it mean, Luvakar Behecholoi, to visit his sanctuary? A visitor is someone who comes once in a while. The Sfas Emes explains with the same aside. A visitor comes with a sense of wonder. A tourist sees everything in a new city with fresh eyes. He's excited, alert, taking it all in. So Luvakar Behecholoi means, even if I am here there constantly, even if I live in the world of Torah and Avodas Hashem, I should still feel it with the freshness of a visitor, with the excitement of the first time. That is the tefillah, not only to be there, but to never lose its chachos, to keep the freshness, to keep the feeling of erison forever. And then there are two final points in Haftarah. First, although it may seem surprising that Yonason would concern himself with the possible loss of 3 arrows, we need to remember the historical setting. Only a few years earlier, the Plishtim had banned metalworking, and weapons were extremely scarce in all of Eretz Yisrael, as Navi says in Shmuel Av, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Beis. So even something as small as 3 arrows was significant. But a second point is even more puzzling. How could Yonason send away his attendant and remain alone in the field? A prince is never left unattended. Wouldn't that itself arouse suspicion? Have a wonderful Shabbos.